Stage Fright by Ellen Hart. Chapter 1. Torold Wernas was annoyed. Everyone around him was quite obviously deaf and blind. Surely he couldn't be the only one who'd notice. Septimus, pour me another. He leaned heavily against the bar, running a well-tended hand through his thinning blonde hair. You know, Mr. Wernas, I used to mind it when you called me that, but I got to thinking. I've always hated the name Sherman. I mean, nobody gets to pick their own name, do they? Lots of customers call me Septimus now. I kind of like it. Sherman reached underneath the counter for the bottle of Chivas Regal. It suits you, said Torold, swirling the ice around in his empty glass. You're this town's only legitimate Greek philosopher. After two drinks, I can't tell you from Socrates. He smiled maliciously. Sherman beamed his approval, not realizing that he'd just been insulted. The bar at the Maxfield Plaza was a favorite haunt of the St. Paul Theater crowd. After rehearsals, Torold often walked the two blocks from the Alan Grimmy Repertory Theater in order to sit in the dark, understated elegance of the old hotel's first-floor bar and restaurant. Once ensconced in the plush velvet and marble interior, he could drink himself into a state of grace, or oblivion, whichever came first. Anything was better than going home. Marine, his wife of 24 years, would be the first to agree. What had once been a union of love had now disintegrated into a marriage of state. Torold's father, the famous American playwright Gaylord Wernas, believed firmly in the sanctity of the home. One simply did not divorce, or more to the point, one did not divorce if one wanted to stay in the good graces of the great Gaylord. Unfortunately, Torold fell into the latter category. Angrily, he grabbed the fresh drink from Sherman's hand and took a hefty swallow. As he set the glass down on the counter, his eyes came to rest on a picture of himself hanging behind the bar. It had been taken many years ago when he'd played Brick in an award-winning production of Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. He smiled at the handsome face. Torold Wernas was a celebrity in the Twin Cities. Sure, he knew he was a big fish in a small pond, but what the hell? He liked the attention, even the notoriety. At 45, he was fit for little other than the stage. Living in the shadow of his great father had not been easy. A great many people thought he'd never really paid his dues. Cretans. They didn't understand that he'd been paying his dues since the day he was born. Nobody could deny his talent. For good or ill, on or off the stage, Torold was a consummate actor. Pushing the glass to one side, he grabbed a handful of pretzels. Listen, Septimus, let me ask you one more time. I mean, don't you see it? Come on, my two sisters may be blind as bats, but surely you're not. Sherman scratched his chin. I don't know, it's hard to tell. Well, if you don't mind my saying so, Mr. Wernas, it isn't kind of a personal matter. None of my business, really. He picked up a soft cloth and began polishing the marble bar top. Hey, by the way, I got tickets to your new play. The wife and I can't wait. We've seen just about everything your sister's ever written. If you ask me, Antonia's every bit as good a playwright as your father. Must run in the family. He winked. The family, thought Torold sourly. He sipped his drink. Yeah, we're a brilliant bunch of folks. He shook his head at the very idea. Just look at them. There was Dad, champion of the 60s morality play. He'd instructed the entire nation about the evils of war, taking the exploration of human viciousness to new depths. And for that, he'd become the darling of the war resistors, the revered symbol of truth in a land that generally preferred bald, proudly stated lies. It was unfathomable. Torold laughed out loud at the irony. Something funny? Asked Sherman. He looked up. Funny? Actually, he lied. I was just thinking about my elder sister, Antonia the Great, often referred to as simply Antonia Regina. You know, somehow in the last few years, she's become a rising star in the women's movement. One day that heavy crown will break her neck. Mark my words. His smile again grew malicious. Poor old girl. No one ever wants to wear a crown, not when they find out what really means. You have a younger sister, too, don't you? Asked Sherman. Thorold stifled a burp. I do. Lucy. She's the only sane member of the family. He raised a finger. I didn't say normal, Septimus, merely sane. In our family, it's the best one can hope for. Perhaps it's because she has no interest whatsoever in anything theatrical. He finished his drink and set the glass down with a crack. Another? Asked Sherman. Thorold looked at his watch. Why not? I have a little time before my next appointment. Appointment? It's nearly 11:30. I would think you'd be going home to bed. In due time, said Thorold, spreading his arms wide and stretching his back. Since everyone around me seems to prefer blindness, I'm going to force a little light on the subject, so to speak. For a fleeting moment, his voice took on an ominous tone. They all want proof? Well, damn them. I'm going to get it.